Hi everyone, thank you for coming today. I'm going to be talking to you today about using a structured performance improvement methodology known as Lean to improve access in primary care. I'd like to take this time to thank my co-author, Marcy Rubin. She's in the audience today and I've learned a lot from her and she brought me here. So we have no financial relationships to disclose. So, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about how we define access. I'm going to try to broaden the definition a bit to include different ways to look at access and different ways to improve it. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what Lean methodology is, and I'm going to tell you about the Health and Hospitals Corporation and how they adopted Lean in a program called Breakthrough. Then I'm going to tell you about how Breakthrough was used at our facility, Metropolitan Hospital Center, to address access. And I'm going to conclude by speaking about the challenges and recommendations for any other practices looking to improve access. So, there's a time when access to a physician simply meant being able to see that physician and nothing more. Over the past few decades, I think we've come to realize that true access involves more than just being able to see a physician. Care has to be affordable. You have to have available providers, not just physicians. You need nurses, social workers, care managers, etc. You need a range of services, facilities that are accessible. You want to remove barriers, both cultural, language, and anything else that could be keeping patients from getting care. And of course, what's the good of all this if the care isn't relevant and effective in the end? But does this really sum it all up? I think not. I think that over the past few years, in particular with adoption of the Affordable Care Act, we've really come to define access in a new way, again. The new definition of access involves convenience of patients over convenience of providers. So we don't want to send patients all over the world to get care. We want to bring the care to them. We want this care to be integrated. We want continuous communication between and among providers. We want to use information technology meaningfully to improve access. A good example of this is utilizing patient portals and giving patients electronic access to their own medical records. We want reimbursement to be based on outcomes, not services. It's a classic one. We want continuous care and coordination of care across multiple services and locations. We want care management, self-management support, and lo and behold, these are the principles of a medical home. So, multi-service hospitals are in a unique position to address access because they have so many different services in one place. If you're setting out to improve access with this more broad definition in mind, you want to involve all the different stakeholders. You want to involve the primary care service, the specialties, behavioral health, social work, and any other players in the system who might be able to help. You want to establish communication pathways, whether these are electronic or direct face-to-face communication. You want to use data to improve the process. You want to get the frontline staff involved, and you want to engage everybody along the way. So a good way to do this is by using a performance improvement methodology. So, what is Lean? It is a structured performance improvement methodology developed at Toyota, but truly it's applicable to any complex organization. The key to Lean is involving people who do the work. So it's not top-down change, it's bottom-up change. Another key of Lean is identifying waste in a process and eliminating it. And in order to do this, Lean uses what's called A3 thinking. So tell you a little bit about A3. I don't know if people in here are familiar with the plan, do, check, act process. It's this circle where at the top you plan out some sort of reform. You implement it, you check to see if it's working, and then you adapt the solution and you keep in this continuous cycle. So this is really at the heart of what A3 thinking is. There's other components of A3 that are important to Lean. It's visual. So the idea is anybody could come in and see what you're doing and they would know right away what your problem is and how you're planning on addressing it and how that's going. It allows for effective management and learning. And finally, because you're involving everybody on the front line, it creates unity and consensus around the solution. So one of the primary vehicles for change in A3 thinking is what's known as a rapid improvement event. These are structured, week-long events. Every day, at the end of the day, there's a report out with the core team. And the team itself, the entire team, is always interdisciplinary. You have people from the work area. You usually have somebody who's not from the work area to provide a fresh perspective on the subject. And then you have people who are considered subject matter experts who can provide their own insights from experience. I'm briefly going to define each of the members of the core team. The process owner is the person who's ultimately held accountable for changing everything, somebody from the area who's every 30 and 60 and 90 days has to report out to a hospital-wide committee to explain why changes aren't happening if they're not happening. The team leader is somebody who, during the week, leads the team. They're not necessarily involved in everything. They don't need to make every decision, but they're really there to motivate. The facilitator is sort of a lean expert. They're also with the team every day of the week, and they're really sort of guiding the process and making sure that all the team members understand what the goal is and how they're going to get there. Executive sponsor would be somebody from the executive level who sort of guides at the beginning of the rapid improvement event process. This person would guide where they ultimately want to end up, and if there's barriers that come up along the way, this person would in a leadership position would be able to remove them. Finally, a sensei is a person who's also a lean expert, but they're really called in on an as-needed basis if the team hits a roadblock. I just want to take a moment to tell you, so this was originally developed at Toyota, so a lot of the terminology we see is actually based on Japanese words. So you have the sensei, you have Gemba, which refers to the workplace, so that's something that kind of confuses people at first. Okay, so the Health and Hospitals Corporation is New York City's public hospital network. It's very large. There were nearly 5 million clinic visits in 2011. It is one of the largest municipal healthcare systems in the world, consisting of 11 acute care hospitals, 4 skilled nursing facilities, 6 large diagnostic and treatment centers, and more than 70 community-based clinics. We serve more than 1.4 million New Yorkers and nearly 500,000 uninsured. Metropolitan Hospital Center is a subsidiary of HHC. We are a municipal acute care hospital in East Harlem, New York. We're a teaching hospital affiliated with New York Medical College. And our patient population is primarily low-income, minority, often uninsured patients who reside in the South Bronx and Upper Manhattan and a few other places in New York City. So, Metropolitan Hospital Center was one of the first HHC facilities to adopt Lean. We really hit the ground running. At the outset, the goal, as it always is with Lean, is to improve flow, reduce waste, and increase revenue. Now, over time, we've sort of laid a lot of groundwork, and we've had the opportunity to build upon that. I mentioned the principles of a medical home before. The reason I did that is because we've utilized these principles to build upon the work from the first few years of Lean, again, with the goals of reducing waste and increasing revenue. And we had a number of rapid improvement events that were designed to address access and to further implement the principles of a medical home. So from this point forward, I'm going to talk about some of the specific things we've done, some of the projects that were intended to address access. The first big project, this was also the first one that I was involved in, was establishing continuity in primary care. So whenever you're starting out a rapid improvement event, you always start out with a reason for action, otherwise known as a burning platform. In this case, the burning platform was that patients were not always seen by the same provider in primary care. So we did a number of things to address this. Before I talk about the PCP list, we designed a master schedule. So resident physicians were assigned permanently to attending physicians. Thus, you created a sense of continuity for the physicians themselves. Even though residents were only there for a few years, 3 to 4 generally, we still gave them a panel of patients and a consistent work atmosphere. Following this, we've created what we now call the PCP list. So one of the big complaints that we heard from staff was that they never really know who a patient's PCP is, because one system says one thing, one system says another. Essentially, what we did is we created a workaround where we had a PCP list that existed in Excel but was centralized. So we have one person in the hospital who organizes and compiles this list on a weekly basis and distributes it to everybody else. After some time, people got used to using this as their go-to PCP list as opposed to using all the different disparate systems. Again, this was something that people really wanted from the outset, so it worked. It did not take that much time to get people using a new system, and there weren't that many complaints around it because it really solved the problem that everybody wanted to see solved. Ultimately, over the course of the last few years, we've improved continuity immensely using this tool. So after all that work, really establishing physician teams, we wanted to extend that and use the PCMH model of a true care team with nursing staff and clerical staff and anybody else who's involved in care for the patient. This was accomplished through a number of rapid improvement events, projects, and committees. Again, the patient-centered medical model was utilized, and since we received patient-centered medical home recognition in 2010, we were able to use the increased reimbursement from that in order to hire more staff. We determined appropriate staffing complement by piloting these programs, and we introduced a number of new roles and functions in order to address the new standards of PCMH. Among these, pre-visit planning to make sure patients have all the appropriate labs done, referrals completed before they come to the next primary care visit, comprehensive care management, and self-management support. We phased in these. We're actually still in the process of phasing in these teams as we get more staff to make sure that they can accomplish all these new functions. So this is sort of a separate track, but it's really at the heart of improving access to urgent slots. So when you have patients who consistently use the emergency department in the inpatient units, you really want to get them back into their medical home. And you want to make sure they can do that on a timely basis. Otherwise, they're likely to end up back in the emergency room again. So to accomplish this, we had to work across department different service lines, different departments, including ambulatory care, emergency department, inpatient units, and perioperative services. We built on the success of the previous rapid improvement events, specifically the PCP list. Why not share it with the entire hospital so that way everybody knows who a patient's PCP is as opposed to just in ambulatory care? And then we utilized the care teams. Since we were able to get new staff on board, since they were doing pre-visit planning and care management, we can have care teams look at high-risk patients who often end up in the emergency room and get them back into their primary care practice. So the big change that came out of this was establishing a panel for patients, especially for patients being discharged from the inpatient units. So this panel is reserved for those patients, and it allowed us to do a couple of things. So those patients are now seen within the next few days after discharge. It also allowed us, since we now have a panel of patients, then we have patients on that schedule, we can make their PCP assignments ahead of time. And so one of the things we do is to make sure that they're if there's a resident on the inpatient unit who's treating that patient, we assign that resident to the patient so that they, when the patient returns to clinic, they can see the same physician who they were being seen by on the unit. So you may be asking yourself why I included a slide about specialties in this presentation, since it's about primary care access. But ultimately, the care team model extends to the specialties, and in particular, the PCMH model includes the specialties and includes standards and guidelines for communication between primary care and specialties. We wanted to build on the success that we had in primary care and expand this to the specialties. With that in mind, we had to accommodate and adapt our solutions, seeing how specialties are naturally very different than primary care. You have patients who tend to come in and be seen once or twice and then leave. It's not like primary care where you want to get them in on a regular basis and continually. But you still want to keep a constant communication between primary care and specialties. And of course, in specialties, we have a different staffing complement. So this led us to a new project where we looked at, we collected a lot of data around the high no-show rate in specialties and low productivity, and we what we started to do is to align how we overbook patients into the specialties to make sure that we're filling up all the slots and to make sure that, that we have also have access to the specialties. Of course, the ultimate goal, like I said, is to get them back into their primary care medical home. We don't want specialists to become de facto PCPs. So again, this communication would ensure that patients are sent back to primary care after they're seen in the specialty. So at the end of the day, how have we done? I said before that continuity was worked out really well, increased from below 25% to above 70% over the course of a few months. We established these urgent appointment slots for emergency department and inpatient unit discharges. We now do pre-visit planning for all of our patients. We have care teams in primary care and several of the specialties. And traditional access, which I spoke about at the beginning, which we always define by availability of appointment slots, has remained a challenge. So I want to take a moment to speak about why that is. We've had all this success, and yet how do you increase the number of slots you have, and why is that so difficult at the end of the day? In some cases, it just has to do with supply and demand. You have services that are, because of our patient population, they're highly utilized, and because of the funding that we receive, we just don't have enough staff to accommodate them. However, the success that we have had is by breaking down barriers and establishing communication between different staff members and different roles, building trust, and aligning everybody's goals and values. The lean methodology has been vital to that process. So again, the importance of using metrics to address these issues, the importance of continuing that process of going through, seeing how you're doing, changing what you're doing, and revisiting change early and often. Using care teams to improve quality and access. I've mentioned care teams a lot. One of the reasons that they're so important to improving access is because now it's not just a physician and a patient. You now have access to a care team. So you have multiple people who the patient can call, multiple people who they can come in and see, as opposed to just one person. So there is room for improvement there. And again, growing staff and building partnerships, letting them know how important they are to the process, and using the patient-centered medical home model have all been very useful to us. Thank you.